There's always something wonderful about being at home. I like to vacation. I like to go and visit. Matter of fact, when we go to Missouri, we stay at my mother-in-law's house. And I don't know what we call it now. We call our house the resort. We call your house the bed and breakfast. Is that right? And they come stay at my place, and I go stay at their place, and we have a good time. And I love to visit there in Missouri, but you know what I've always loved the most is when I get to missing home, I can't wait to see my house. Matter of fact, I used to drive to Kingman all the time, and when I'd come up over this hill, Kingman wasn't my home at that time, and I would look at Kingman and go, who would live here? But now Kingman's my home, and so when I drive over that hill, the lights of Kingman never look so beautiful because it's home. There's something powerful about being home. You know, I love it at home because at home, if I'm at your house, I'm going to be respectful, and I don't necessarily, I won't go get in your fridge. I won't go dig in your fridge looking for food. That's not my house. It's not my right. Matter of fact, when I want to use your restroom at your house, I say, where's your restroom? Can I use it, please? But at my house, I don't ask for that. I know where my restroom is, and I go when I want to go. Amen? And I know where my fridge is, and I go in there and get in there and get whatever I want. And there are some days where, you know what I do? I put on PJs, and I say, this is a PJ day. And I ain't getting out of PJs. So if have you ever been on a PJ day and someone knock on your door? Come on now. I have. Amen. And you're like, oh, I'm in PJs. They can't see me in PJs. So you're rustling to get ready, you know, because you're trying to rest and relax. And there's something beautiful about being at home. And I was going to ask my children for permission, but I didn't. So I'm going to just say it anyway. But I love it when my children at home, because when they're here at church, they're like, hey, I'm cool. Yeah, it's me. You know, it's like, I'm cool. But at home, they let their hair down. At home, they're goofy. At home, they're themselves. You should see them running, dancing through the house, acting like crazy little kids. Because here in church, you're like, yeah, I'm cool. But at home, they let everything go. You know what it's like to be at home? When you're at home, you're just at home. So you're having a good time, and you'll let your hair down. You'll relax and fit in and just let yourself just embrace where you are at that moment. You'll enjoy every moment being at your place. You know what? This older son had a problem. He was at home, but he wasn't enjoying being at home. There's nothing worse than that. He's in danger of missing the greatest blessing in his life. I feel like what I need to say to us is I need to shout out, danger, danger, danger. You quit having church and now you're just coming to church. Danger, danger, you're giving in tithes and offering, but danger, you quit giving God your heart. Danger, danger. I feel like I need to say you're singing, but you're not worshiping. Danger. There's a dangerous time we live in, and this time, this dangerous time is to become complacent, sitting on a pew, when God has everything for us, everything for us. We are in danger of saying amen to the preaching, but not letting the word of God change us. We need to allow God to move in our hearts. We're no better than the person out in the world who refuses God. You can refuse God in this building. You can refuse him sitting on that pew right this very moment. You can commit the same wickedness and be religious. And this older brother, he thinks he's got it. He's been around the Father. He's been with the Father. He comes into the house. He goes out of the house. He sees the Father. But he's never had a party with his Father. Now, how can you come to church and not let your hair down? I like hair down services. Amen. I like them old time Pentecostals used to have the beehive for a hairdo. Hey, man, used to dance their beehive right out and their bobby pins flying everywhere. Come on, somebody got to know what I'm talking about. I like that kind of service. Somebody let their hair down. What we need is people who are so in love with their Heavenly Father that every time they see him, they go, oh, there he is. There he is. It's time to party. There's my Father. It's time to rejoice. It's time to be excited in him. But we can be in danger right now because we are sitting in church. You know, the most horrible thing that Judas did was he kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. The worst thing you can do is sit on a church pew and not embrace all that God is giving to you. It is the scariest thing to do, Christian. We cannot commit the sin of the older brother, but it's what Christians do Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It's like they got to be moved by a dump truck or something. They need something to just move them. Otherwise, they're not going to move. They're unmovable, and they're not going to weep and worship. They're not going to rejoice when it's time to rejoice. They're not going to come to the altar when they should come to the altar. They're not going to pray through when they should pray through, and when they're not going to touch heaven when they should have touched heaven. I cannot tell you how many altar calls that I know that God gave me a word specifically for people in this church, and I've seen them leave and not respond. I've seen it time and time again, and they're in danger of being religious and not having God. One of the worst things you can do is have a form of godliness but have no power. One of the worst things you can do is be around religious stuff but not having it in your heart. And not having it in your heart. There's a love behind all of this, my dear friends. There's a love behind our worship songs. There's a love in our tithes and offering. There's a love in our praise and adoration. There's a love amongst the preaching of the word. There's a love that goes behind all of that. And that love should motivate us to get out of a place of complacency and say, Father, I want to party all by myself. You know what we get in danger of is routine. Routine is our danger. We get routine, and we expect service to go a certain way and a certain time and a certain form. And the preacher preaches 30 minutes, and then the songs, they go for 30 minutes. The offering, so we're talking an hour, 10 hour, and 15 minutes. And if it goes any longer than that, we kind of get a little antsy about it. But if we go down to the movie house, we can sit there for 2 hours and watch Thor with a hammer. And we can go down there and watch a movie for a couple hours. But when we get to the house of God, there's something lacking. Are you catching what I'm saying? Something missing. When you love something more in the world than what you have right here in this house. Some people, when I started preaching, they already tuned me out and churned me off. They're like, oh, here's the preaching. I just got to start thinking about something so my mind can be occupied. The devil's already stolen the seed of God's word that's being sowed at this very moment because they've allowed their mind to drift somewhere else. They've quit worshiping once the worship stopped. Once the worship singing stopped, they quit worshiping. It's a dangerous point you can be at, to be in church but not have church. It's a dangerous thing. And this older brother has a problem. Now I want you to catch something. He comes in from the field. This older brother knew how to work for his Heavenly Father. He was a worker. The older son was a worker. You know what, Christians? I've seen a lot of Christians who work, but they don't rejoice anymore in the work. They do something for the Lord for a little bit. You know what I love? I love the heart of a new person who wants to do something for God. They're like, oh, pastor, please, let me work for God. Please, let me do something. Can I do the sound booth? Can I do the projection? Can I teach me this? Or can I work in this area? Can I work in the food ministry? Can I work in the clothing drive? What can I do? Can I do anything? Can I work somewhere? And so I say, yeah, why don't you do this? And they're like, yes, I get to work for God. And then they're working for the Lord for a little while. And after a little bit of time, it becomes, guess what? And the fire dwindles, and the excitement dwindles, and the joy dwindles. Next thing you know, they're not as punctual as they should be. Hello, somebody. They're working for God, and they're in the midst of God's presence, but they're not embracing it, nor are they enjoying it. This older son works for the father, but he's not embracing all that the father has for him. It's the worst thing you can do is to work for God, but not have God. That's the worst thing you can do. I never want to preach a sermon and not have God. I don't want to play the drums and not have God. I don't want to sing a worship song and not have God. I don't want to be involved in religious things just to be involved in religious things. I don't want to stamp a spiritual time card and say, I have come to church. I want to be the church when I get here. Amen. That should be the desire. The danger of missing it is to get so caught up in the work of God that you forget God. Some of you are doing just that. You're consumed in the work of God, but you've forgotten to be alone with God. You've forgotten to rejoice with God. And so you're suffering what we call old-fashioned burnout. You could suffer burnout because you're so busy doing things for God but not being alone with God. And I know this from experience, and I know this because in my own heart, in my own life, there are times where I have to shut everything down and just get alone with God. Just get alone. I need a touch from you right now. I need a touch, God, because you can get so busy working for the Lord that you forget to be with the Lord. This church is not about you doing just service for Him, but it's about rejoicing with Him in the service that you do. It's not about just doing the sound booth or doing work or praying in the altars for people or being the youth director or youth pastor or juniors pastor or the associate pastor or the praise and worship team and the praise and worship leader or playing an instrument or working in the food bank or working in the clothing drive or doing evangelism and witnessing out in the streets. All those things are fine and wonderful, but what good is that if you haven't been alone with the one who gives you the power and the joy to do all of that? This older brother, he was missing it. He missed it. He's always around the Father, but he's missing it. He's a worker and he's missing it. Don't become a worker in the church and miss it. Now get this. The older son was also a watcher. He watched everybody. You know what happens when you're not getting in? You watch others get in. Come on now. You watch other people receive when you should be receiving. I've said it time and time again, probably until I die, I'll keep saying it. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It requires your participation. And the older son had this problem. He liked to watch. He was sitting outside while they were having a party. He was watching it. He was always around the Father, but never embracing what the Father had. He was watching everybody else embrace Him. You know, it's a shame, Christian, when you've been saved for so many years and you know the great things of God and you become a spectator. When you lose a desire to participate. Christian, have you lost a desire to participate in altar calls? Come on now, I'm preaching to you now tonight. Have you lost a desire to get to the house of God a little early so you may spend a couple minutes alone with the Lord? Have you lost the desire to be in the altars with the sinner that's coming to Christ for the first time or maybe coming back to Christ because they left God? Have you lost the desire to be in the altar and receive a blessing from the Holy Ghost all by yourself? Have you lost that desire? Because if you've lost that desire, you might be a watcher tonight. You might be like this older brother who likes to sit there and watch other people get it. Now listen, if you like to watch, just keep watching because I'm going to get mine. Amen. You have to make up your mind that you're not going to sit back and watch others get it, but you're going to allow yourself to get what God has for you. Because God doesn't want you to watch others receive. He wants you to receive. He wants you to receive. And what He has for you, it's special and it's planned out for you. So why would you sit back and not come get it? Oh, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I come from. Oh, phooey. That's the devil talking in your eardrum. Phooey, phooey, phooey. That's the enemy trying to stop you from getting what God has for you. He's trying to keep you back. Well, if you knew what I was struggling with, guess what? There's not a person in this building that don't have a struggle in this building. And it's not about your struggle. It's about your God, my dear friend. And if you come in and you quit watching, you know what the worst thing is to have the blessings right there and never get it. When I look at my fridge and I'm hungry, I look at it, and I do something very valuable to my stomach. I open it. And my stomach says, yeah, I want that, I want that, and I want that. And so I put it all together, and it's usually a Reuben sandwich. Because God blesses Reubens. Amen. And I'll make me we can even make our own little Thousand Island. We heat up that sauerkraut. I'm going to make you all hungry here in a minute. And we get I like the turkey pastrami because, man, that's good stuff. And then the sourdough, and I get all the ingredients. And guess what? It's all in my fridge. All I got to do is go in there and get it. But how foolish would it be of me to walk up to my fridge and go, I'm hungry, and I look at the fridge, but I don't get into it. But that's what we do in church. We're starving spiritually. We're hungry for God. And you're looking at the fridge, but you don't open it. You got to open it so that you can get what God has. Don't be a watcher. Don't be a spectator. This older brother, he was watching everybody else get it, and he wasn't getting it himself. And this is what the older brother loved to do. Get this. And this happens to a lot of religious people, especially people who work in the church. The older brother was comparing himself to his younger brother. He's saying, soon as that son of yours comes back home, you kill the fatted calf for that guy? Seriously? That guy? When I've been faithful, he says, I've been here, I've been in the field, I've never left, I've never transgressed your ways, I've been faithful, and you're blessing that guy? Come on now. You're going to touch him? Really? But not me? I don't get it. The older brother was so stuck watching everything around him, so stuck in his working, and lost his sight of rejoicing with his heavenly Father, that here he sits in a pouty mode. Come on, have you ever seen pouty Christians? I have. They look like they suck on lemons. They got their lip all curled up. Well, I love the Lord, and I'm glad to be at church. And you're like, please tell your face, amen, that you're glad to be here. Praise God. I heard one comedian say, we need to send missionaries to your face, amen. So, praise God. They get pouty. I have seen Christians say, I could have done a better job than that Christian. They were doing that, but I could have done better. That's comparing yourself. Sister Candy, you clean the church just fine, but I could have done it better. Come on now. I'm sorry, Sister Candy. I don't mean to pick on you, embarrass you. I'm just using you as an example. It happens in the house of God. Christians comparing themselves to other Christians because they think, well, I should have gotten it, but they got it. How come they got the job? I didn't get the job. How come I was passed over? I'm more qualified than them. But when you compare yourselves among yourselves, Paul said, you are not wise. And this older brother, he's comparing himself, and he gets, get this, he feels righteous when he's looking at an unrighteous brother. He's looking at it from self-righteousness point of view because he has all this stuff in front of him, but he never participates. And then when the younger son comes and he gets it and he receives it, and he's rejoicing in it, he sits and pouts about it. He sits and pouts about it. He's outside, and the father has to plead with him to get his attention. The father has to go outside and say, hey, how come you're out here throwing a temper tantrum? Why are you out here? Come inside and rejoice. I've never, ever done this. Look what he's done. He's got this big old beam in his eye, but his brother's got a splinter in his. He's trying to take the splinter out. Have you ever met Christians who were splinter removers? They're the ones with the tweezers looking at your life. Come on now. I've met a lot of Christians that got tweezers, amen. Let's get that out of your eye over there. And they got this big old thing. Could you imagine going to the eye doctor and the eye doctor's got on one-eyed Willie mask, you know, patches on both eyes. And he says, I'm going to go in blind this time. See how good I do, all right? Let's see how good I do. But that's exactly what other Christians do when they compare themselves to other believers. You know what Peter said to John? When Peter said to Jesus, Jesus was resurrected. He was revealing himself in the Gospel of John. And Peter said, what are you going to do about John the Beloved? You already told me what's going to happen to me, but what are you going to do about John the Beloved? You know what Jesus said? What does that have to do with you? Sometimes we got to tell people, what has that got to do with you? Amen? It's none of your business. How many have ever had to say, that's none of y'all? Because what the Father does with somebody else is the Father's business with somebody else. But here's the kicker. You're so worried about the somebody else that you're missing yours. That's the danger of comparing yourself. Now here's the deal. The older son has this problem too. He blames others for his lack of receiving. This younger guy comes and he gets it. He's blaming the younger guy. He got it. I didn't get it. And then he blames the father. He says to the father, you never threw a party for me. He's blaming everybody else. There's something to be said about spiritual responsibility, that we are responsible for our spiritual life. Do you understand that God has made it possible for you to have all that is His? And because He made that possible, now it is your responsibility to open up the fridge and taste and see and embrace it and enjoy it and feast on it. Because you'll miss the party if you decide to compare yourself, or you get stuck in the work and you don't want to rejoice in it, or if you get to a place where all you want to do is watch. And here this older brother is blaming others for why he don't have it. He's blaming others. Let me tell you something. If you don't get it, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's not my fault that you don't pray. Hello, somebody. That's not my fault. That's your fault. It's not my fault that you don't rejoice. That's your fault. You can't blame others for where you are, because where you are is where you chose to be. You chose to sit there on your blessed assurance. You chose to not be moved. You chose to not rejoice when you could have rejoiced and you didn't rejoice. When you could have shouted and you didn't shout, you didn't. You could have, but you didn't. And that's where the kicker is. And sometimes we'll say, well, I didn't because of this or that. And everything else that is this or that is phooey. Hogwash, because all those things are nothing more than to stop you from getting more of God. Amen? And I love what the father says. He says, he blames the younger brother. And it's easy to blame everybody else for why you didn't get it, because then it's not your fault. But when you take spiritual responsibility for where you are, then there may have to be a repentance moment. You see, both brothers needed to repent. One had to repent for wasting the substance with riotous living. The other need to repent for wasting the same substance because he never touched it. The same repentance has to come. sometimes we need to say, God, I'm sorry that I didn't get involved when I should have. I'm sorry that I didn't praise when I should have. I think we need to have a repentance service on repenting for why we didn't praise, why we didn't rejoice, why we didn't get excited, why we lost the fire, we lost the zeal, we lost the hunger. Wherever we lost that, we need to come back to that. We need to repent and come back to what God has for us. Because you can be religious and in his house, but not have it here. Amen? One thing I've learned after pastoring so long is that people backslide a lot longer before their body does. And I can see signs physically within the life of a believer of the backsliding heart. And one of the first signs I can tell is a lack of desire to be in God's house. Hit and miss attitude. Another backslidden thing is a refusal to really worship, to really get involved, to really praise. I mean, I could give you a list of things that I've seen in the lives of believers because I've seen people sit on the pew but have a backslidden heart because they haven't taken advantage of all that God has for them. What God has for you, you have to take advantage of it. The lack of fire in your heart is nobody else's fault. It's nobody else's fault. And you may even say, well, it's my fault. Yeah, it is. Now get up and take care of it. Amen? If you're a man, you understand that. Get up, take care of it. Brother Dan, you understand that, right? Get up, take care of it. If you're a man, you get it. If something breaks, men, what do we do? Josh, what do? Fix it, right? That's what we do. If something falls apart, we fix it. When a truck falls apart, Brother Tim, what do? You fix it. Men, we understand this. If we understand that in a natural sense, how much more should we understand it, men, in a spiritual sense, that something's breaking down in our spiritual life? Shouldn't we stand up and take responsibility, pull out the tool belt, put it on, and go to work on our spiritual life? Shouldn't we do that? We should take responsibility for that. And we can't blame somebody else for why we don't get it. Well, they wronged me. They hurt me. They offended me. Phooey, phooey, phooey. Hogwash. It's the devil trying to stop you. You can't come to church because that person goes to that church. What are you going to do when you go to heaven with them? It don't make any sense, right? It's funny. There are people who don't like me. I got this like, do they love me or they hate me thing, you know? And so the ones that don't like me, they just go to another church. And they say, we're never, I've had people tell me, I'll never come to your church. I mean, just mean. And I go, what are you going to do when we go to heaven together? You're not leaving God, but you're saying you'll never worship with me. How does that work? How does that work? Because when we get to heaven, if I see them in heaven, I'm going to kind of scoot over next to them. I'm going to be like, hey, I made it! Woo! But like, aren't you glad to see me here with you? Amen. Do you know what the danger for workers and watchers and those who compare themselves with others and those who blame others for their lack of experience? You know what the danger is for them? They're in danger of missing all that God has. I just want to read that verse one more time, and then I'm finished. Can you go back to verse 28, please? We're going to read here. He said, verse 28, keep going. One more, sis, one more. Oh, okay, 28 is gone. Go up. There it is. Okay. But he said, but he was angry and would not go in. The older brother was angry. Therefore, his father came out and he pleaded with him. And aren't you thankful that when you get so stuck in the rut of religious services, or when you get so caught up coming to church but not having church, and you quit letting your hair down and enjoying the presence of God? Come on now. Aren't you glad that your heavenly father will come out and plead with you? Because he wants you to have more of him. Amen. Go back. Go to 29. 29, sis. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat. There he is blaming his father. There he is blaming his brother. He's blaming everybody but himself, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this your son, as this your son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Next verse, sis. Thank you. And he said to him, son, you are always with me. Now, there it is right there, Christian. You are always with me. Okay, now, can you get this? Being with the Father always. But he said, I've never had a time of rejoicing with you, with my friends. Talk about a sad Christian experience. There's nothing worse than just being religious. I can tell you right now, I want nothing to do with it. I don't want to just be religious. I want to have a genuine relationship. Genuine relationship. So he says to his son, you're always with me. Can you imagine? I think if I passing each other in the hallways, you know, in the same house, eating at the same table, but never ever embracing all that the Father had. And then the Father even goes even deeper. He says, and all that I have is yours. If anything I can sink home tonight is that I just want to sink this one thought home. Everything God has belongs to you, because he gave it to you. He gave it to you. Healing is yours. Deliverance is yours. Peace is yours. Joy is yours. Strength for the storm is yours. The courage to overcome is yours. All that God has is yours. And the only reason, Christian, hear me now, the only reason why we don't get what we need is we refuse to take advantage of what God has given us. That's the only reason. Because your heavenly Father is trying to hand it to you. I said he's trying to hand it to you. And while he's trying to hand it to you, you have to reach out and take it.